Humility and weakness are not synonyms, right? We're just going to dive right in. The greatest men and women in scriptures were mighty in God and humble. So humility isn't weakness. The most profound miracles in scripture were performed by Moses, of whom it was written in Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who are on the face of the earth. Guess who wrote that? Moses. That would be hard, wouldn't it? If God said, I need you to write for me this, you're going to be writing the scriptures, and I need you to write that you're the most humble man on the face of the earth. Doesn't sound like it. Okay. Self-deprecation, which putting yourself down, and feigned weakness are not humility. They are a religious facade. Okay. Faith, confidence, and biblical confessions can have the appearance of pride, but may in fact be couched in deep humility. All right? I just feel like God wants to give us a little bit of a reset this morning, because the world is telling us how to behave. They're telling us they know more about what it means to be a Christian than we do, but they don't. Help me out and say amen. They're just constantly, if you're a Christian, why aren't you? If you know, constantly, just like, really? Since you know so much about it, why don't you try it? Let's look at Jesus as an example. John 10:17-21. Therefore, my Father loves me. Yeah, that's good. It's a good start. Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This needs a disclaimer. Do not try this at home. Yeah. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Just sometimes I don't think we think about deeply enough about Scripture and the constant swirling of controversy that surrounded Jesus. We just kind of think he went through life and gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is amazing. So we can't control how we're perceived. Right? You could be Jesus, the Son of God, and be perceived in a very negative way. So since I'm not Jesus, the Son of God... If I get perceived in a negative way, it's probably my fault, but, you know, does this make sense? So, we can't control how we're perceived. Moses was humble, but accused of being proud. That's the context of Numbers 12. His brother and sister said, you're not the only one that hears from God. Okay. Jesus was humble and accused of being insane. Even his own brothers thought he was crazy. So I kind of like this saying. I suppose it could be used in a wrong way, but I like the saying, you do you and I'll do me. In other words, just be who you are in the presence of God. Don't worry about what other people are thinking, okay? Probably not thinking about you anyways. But don't worry about what they might be thinking about you. And don't, please hear this in love, don't think you know what other people should be doing. This gets us so mixed up when we're trying to control other people around us and try to manipulate people around us. And we call that church. All right. So let's look at the witness of the Father first in 1 John 5:9-13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Can we just stop there and say amen? Amen. The witness of God is greater. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Isn't that awesome? We should be the most confident people on the planet. Not the most arrogant, the most confident. It's not about the opinion of yours or mine or whoever's peers, but the opinion of your Father in heaven that counts. And he has a good opinion of you. Isn't that? That's amazing. It's really simple, isn't it? Believe in the testimony of the Father concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Do that and you will walk in the Father's good pleasure and in the age to come have eternal life. Your rewards are out of this world. So I want you to think about this because I appreciate the statement, it's faith, not feelings. But I think God wants us to feel and to be aware and to sense his presence and his love. I don't think he wants us just to float through life with some kind of mental resolve. I think he wants us to encounter him. So, can you believe that the life, the eternal life of the Son of God can enter into a person and them not notice it? See, that's kind of what we tell people. You just say this prayer and now you're going to heaven and no matter what. No, we need an encounter with him. We need to be born again. We need to receive the Holy Spirit and have our lives transformed. I don't just need some mental decision. I need an encounter. His Spirit will witness his presence to your spirit. And I'm not talking about mere emotionalism. I'm talking about the reality of his presence in every one of us. So John was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to write these truths so that we who believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that we would know that we have eternal life. Not eternal insecurity, eternal security. Don't get nervous because I said that. I'm not going Calvinist on you. I'm just saying we should be confident, secure in our faith, and knowing, because why? Look at what's happening in the world. Have you noticed the instability? It started around November 8th, 2020. No, it did. And the whole world is just teeming. Ships are maneuvering around each other, planes are maneuvering around each other, our troops are at risk everywhere in the world. And I'm not here to preach about all that. I'm just trying to say that things, we don't know where this is going. But we know that if we walk in faith and confidence with the Lord, no matter what happens, everything's going to turn out the way it's supposed to. I want us to be a group of people that continue with God in confident assurance no matter what we face in this life. Because even if the world went totally normal, which it won't, if it went totally normal, you still may face your own personal trial. And you're going to need faith to do that. Second witness is the witness of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:12-17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Well, Paul, what do you really think? It's pretty direct. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Wow. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now let me say something about suffering, because in the Western church, especially in America, we don't have a theology of suffering. We just assume we're going to prosper and everything's going to go our way. And it, how many of you were told that when you just give your life to Jesus and everything will go well, you'll have peace, you'll have this. And I gave my life to Jesus. I got delivered of my money, delivered of my health, delivered. I went through a lot of stuff. Got rejected by my family. You just don't know what's going to happen. So I don't like to tell people, just accept Jesus and everything's going to go well. It might not. But at the end, it will go well. That we've got to have at least part of our heart set on eternity. Amen? Have you guys noticed this world has fallen? Wow, that's a revelation, Pastor. But I think the suffering that we all go through, whether we suffer those externals, is we suffer the loss of our own will, we suffer the loss of the desires of our own carnal nature, and we surrender those to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what do we owe our fallen nature, Satan, and these broken systems of this world? Not one thing. Is that okay? We are not debtors. This is what Paul is saying. We're not debtors to the flesh, but we live by the Spirit. Amen? When we can say in faith that the world has nothing in me and I have nothing in the world, we can be free to do God's will. But if we're in bondage, we're not free to do God's will. Amen? Now, I'm looking at a room full of people, and you're mostly looking at me, or sometimes you're going like. No, we're looking at people that are fallen but redeemed. And sometimes our fallenness shows up, doesn't it? It does. Bless God. We have a cure, the blood of Jesus. Amen. So owing the flesh brings us into the bondage of sin and wrecks our peace and confidence. There's no such thing as holy insecurity. Don't shout me down now. Paul gives us a partial list of debts, which he calls works in the flesh in Galatians 5:16 through 21. So please note the parallel with the passage in Romans. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything. I'll raise my hand. But have you ever been just going along about your day and all of a sudden you find yourself in something and go, how in the world did I get here? Right? Yeah. And what happens is we get in the flesh subtly, and then we start to be mindful of things that we shouldn't be mindful of, and then we get engaged in things we shouldn't be engaged in. And all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit gives us a little wake-up, ringy-ding-ding, and we go, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Lord, help. And he delivers us. But he doesn't want us to make that a practice, okay? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. People want to be not under the law, but not led of the Spirit. It doesn't work. Now the works of the flesh are what he said in Romans 8, the debts of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, this isn't a complete list. Of the which, I have some of my own I could add. Of the which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The word practice in the Greek means to perform repeatedly or habitually. So it's not talking about stumbling, it's talking about a lifestyle. Does that make sense? Because then later in John, 1 John, John says, anyone who says he's without sin is a liar. Well, I don't want to add that to my list of problems. All right. So again, thinking about it in these terms, I don't owe my flesh anything. I'm not in debt to its sensual cravings, its hatred, its anger, and you fill in the blank. Right? And those things can be experienced just driving in Paso Robles or watching the news. The fruit of the Spirit who is in you and in me is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ooh, self-control. Just one more cookie, Jesus? Okay. So we're not trying to be loving people who don't, towards people we don't like. Don't we kind of do that? That's religion, right? I need to love that person. I can't stand them, but I need to love them. And then we end up becoming one more frustrated religious hypocrite. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So let that love wash up over your heart and transform the way you think about other people. Then you can love them. Thanks. I got couple amens there. Let me divert just for a second. This thing that's happening in our country, left, right, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, all these divisive points that make us not like each other, that spirit can't be in us. Because what happens is we end up thinking that the gospel is only for people that think the way we do and look the way we do, and that's wrong. So, amen. But it's not hard to think that way. So we need the Holy Spirit, yes? We begin to overcome by His love and in that moment capture His heart for others. For God so loved the world. When Jesus came, He wasn't well received. But He loved them anyways. And then when they killed Him, He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's tough. So I want to say it this way. I don't think it's really that difficult to tell the difference between the love of God and the hatred of my fallen nature. And I'll be honest with you, I visit both. Those two cannot coexist. So forget the bumper sticker. They can't coexist. It's either love or hatred, light or darkness, spirit or flesh. It's either God or nothing. So we're not religious slaves. Is that good news? That is good news. We have the witness of the Spirit that continually cries out within us and through us, Abba, Father. We have a Father who loves us, and He loves everyone else exactly the same way. I think He loves me a little more than everybody else. But I just poke fun at stuff like that because there's that thinking gets in there, and it's not true. He loves us all the same. We are His children. Here's some more good news. Along with Jesus Christ, we inherit everything. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Here's the really good news. There will be no IRS to take any portion of it. We inherit everything. We will rule and reign with him over the nations. Isn't that great? How are you guys? You need to get a little happy about that. Yay! We should write a book or publish the message of the coming theocracy and watch people go, ah! Finally, let's think about the witness of Jesus Christ. I'll try to be serious for the rest of the time. Therefore, oh, sorry, I didn't give the reference. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21, maybe I did. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Did you guys hear that? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's break this down, because the language is very specific and clear. I'm going to say it in my own terms. Don't look at the carnal weaknesses in those closest to you. Do you see that opening line? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's so easy to look at somebody and look and think, oh, I know what they should be doing. Stand in front of the mirror and try it. Don't look at their weaknesses. Look at who they're called to be in Christ. Speak life into that. See the presence of Jesus in others. Here's a truth. It only takes one functioning eye and a carnal mind to become judgmental. Let me ask you a question. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Half of you. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm talking to the right people. Then you are part of the new creation. The old has passed away in God's view. Make that your view. Have you ever done anything you regret in your life? Right? But once you come to Christ, that's wiped away. Don't let it speak to you anymore. Be done with it. Here's a thought. Let's expand that vision to others. Has anyone hurt you? Forgive and let it go. Move on. I know one of the things that this might sound strange. When I first was born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord just turned on that gift of discerning of spirits, like at a really high level. And I could see what was going on in people's lives around me. And a lot of what I saw was not great. But I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, I can't just see that. I need to see what you're doing. And he opened my eyes to see what he's doing. And that's all I want to see. I don't want to be caught unawares, you know. I don't want to be, so I appreciate discerning of spirits, but I want to be able to see in you what Christ is raising up. It's like, I know people don't like to be pointed out, but sorry. I am just watching Lucas over the last couple of months and just seeing Christ just rise up in him, and just, I'm so excited about what God has for him in his life. I mean, it's unreal. It's unreal. And Ryan, too. Not picking a sibling here. Just I see him up there worshiping and I get so excited. A lot of young people aren't doing that. So, sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you guys, but that's my point, is just when we see one another, to see that, to see what Jesus, what are you doing in that person's life? And then again, speak life into it, yes? God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? He wants to use us to bring that reconciliation to someone who is living within the sphere of our own influence. I so appreciate that we have these dear brothers and sisters, brother and sisters from Korea. I've been there, but I might not get a chance to go back. And I can say I love the people in Korea and I pray for them, but I can't stand my neighbor. No, I'm just trying to be real. So God wants us to love the people in our sphere, in our circle, especially in our own home. That would be nice, huh? One of the guys at men's meeting, we were talking about being better men of God and loving our wives and, you know, being there for them. And I'm just saying that so the wives will make you go next month. But one of the guys said, when my wife says, I love you, what should I say back? I said, well, yeah. Male humor, right? You know. Or who wouldn't? Come on. Got to have a little fun in church. But we want to influence those who are around us for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Isn't that? That is amazing. We represent the kingdom of heaven on the foreign soil of this fallen world. We are in it, but not of it, yes? We are not subject to it. We have diplomatic immunity. We live to a higher law. Now, I'm not saying go out and break the laws and say, you know, put a Kingdom of Heaven flag on your fender. But we live to a higher law than the laws of this world. Yes, the gods of this world have no power over Jesus Christ. They can do all their little jiggy dances, but they can't raise any real power. All power in heaven and earth is given to me, Jesus said. Those of us who are in Christ, same goes. They have no power over us spiritually. Amen. They may harm us through some of their cohorts, but they have no power over us. Finally, we are reconciled to God that we might become. It's an interesting Greek word there that's translated. One Greek word translated three words in English. We might become the righteousness of God in him. The word literally means to cause to be. So it's like, I might become righteous. It's not the language there. It is, he has caused me to become righteous because he took my sin. So you could turn to somebody next to you and say, my, the righteousness of God looks good on you, if you want to. It's not in and of ourselves, it's in him. So as ambassadors, we serve at his pleasure. We represent him. Then the church becomes a local embassy where the laws and governance of heaven reign supreme. So we can say here in this place, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen? So in our laws, the church used to be exempt from government interference, property taxes, and even law enforcement because of our sanctuary laws, and sadly, this is no longer the case. Now they think they can shut us down for the flu. He is. So I'm going to say something. I don't mean to be stinky or nasty or mean or unloving. But I think we've given up a lot in the body of Christ, and God wants us to take it back. Amen. Amen. We no longer call these places sanctuaries. We call them campuses. I think words matter. Where's your campus? Campus. When we gather, this building is just a building, but when we gather here, it becomes sanctified. It becomes a sanctuary. It becomes a place where the presence of God has his own way. But if we call them campuses, it might be appropriate since we don't seem to have a lot of kingdom power and authority and anointing. That's the mean part. We need to get back to the presence and power of God. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the truth of God's word unfettered by my own weakness. I'll say it that way because I'm the guy on this side right now. I like what Mario Murillo said. He said, we have fog machines, big screens, and skinny jeans. In a rock concert atmosphere. But we need an atmosphere of worship. I don't care the style of music. I love organ music. I love what we do here. I love it all. It doesn't matter. No instruments, just a choir. I don't care, but it's the atmosphere of worship that matters. Some people get all worked up. I remember listening to a preacher years and years ago, and he said, a guitar is nothing but a backslidden harp. And I was like, whoa. You got to love that religious spirit. Did you know that there are pastors that are getting their sermons from artificial intelligence to preach? They plug in a topic and the AI prints out a sermon and that's what they read. So we have artificial intelligence writing sermons for artificial pastors, for artificial Christians who live in an artificial world. So Lord Jesus, send us revival, yes? Can we bow our heads? I don't like to end on a kind of a sour note like that, but I just want us to get... I am going to pray, so I kind of lied. I'm talking for a minute more. I want us to have a little bit of a reset. When you look in the mirror, see what Jesus is doing. When you look at the person next to you, see what Jesus is doing. If all you speak to is the thing that you think needs to change or is wrong, please stop. That's too easy. And about yourself, too. Holy Spirit, reveal Christ in us. Reveal Christ to us. And reveal Christ in those whom we love and those whom we tolerate. Lord, we want to see what you're doing. We want to be blessed by you, see the way you see, hear the way you hear, speak the way you speak. And Lord, we want to just communicate that to others, even people who don't yet know you. They have a calling on their life, no matter what their background. God, you may be calling them into something great. But if all we see is the problem, we'll never speak that life into them. So, Lord, we receive your word that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Lord, bless everyone here. Give them an awesome week. Give them opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else. To our friends who are visiting here from South Korea, we pray that you would continue them on their journey, their tour of our great country without incident, that they would be blessed everywhere they go, that they would see your hand of favor upon their lives. Lord, mend every marriage, mend every home, mend every relationship between parents and children. Father, bring healing to this land and to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.